This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is hanging out with us. You know him from Dugout Discussions. You know him from Baseball Today. You know him from the NFL Network. And those of you on the East Side know him from his upbringing of that fantastic school that he went to. High school, university school, growing up in Shaker Heights as well. He is on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He is Sir Chris Rose. Hello, sir. How Chris. Are you?
Greetings. How's my hometown?
Depressed?
Yeah.
It's a good way to put
it.
Any hope for the Cavaliers, my friend? Any hope?
That was a Baskin sigh.
Yeah, that's
proud of you, man. Proud of you.
I mean, it's tough on it because so much is unknown, right? It's a major, major uphill battle if none of those three return. And if even just one, it's still a tough one. It's really hard because that, you know, I don't know how well anybody slept Tuesday night. I didn't. I was replaying like the last 4 minutes of the game in my head. So tough, 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 tough.
I thought they would win game two, Chris, going into it. And I thought they would win it all the way until Halliburton hit that shot. Because I just thought circumstances, you know, you lose game one, you bounce back, whatever. I thought their best chance to win with a depleted team was in that game on Tuesday. I can't see them winning in Indiana with a depleted team twice. Maybe once, maybe. Probably not at all if this team is depleted. So I'm anxious to see who might be able to play and who can't play. You've dealt with athletes your whole career. People don't understand playing through injury or playing with injury. And I think that that's the situation here. If these guys could play, they'd play, wouldn't they?
Well, here's the deal. This is my school of thought. But then again, I don't yell on TV making $18 million a year. So those guys can just do whatever they want and be extremely irresponsible, in my opinion. When you're questioning athletes' toughness and whether they're hurt, people are like, well, why shouldn't they be in the game? I don't understand it. Do you know that a toe ruined the career of one of the toughest football players we've ever seen in Jack Lambert? If you don't know who he is, look him up. Went to Kent State. Second-round pick of the Steelers in 74, part of that Hall of Fame class, one badass linebacker. A toe ruined his career. Toe. Same for Deion. Ruined his career. So for us to be sitting here, for some people to be questioning Darius Garland and a toe injury, like he is his whole identity on the court is shiftiness. And if you can't do that, then what's the point of being out there? It sucks. It looked like the most benign play on which he got injured. But I'm not going to sit here and question a guy's – the guy has smashed his face like 10 times a season. He was drinking through a straw. I think you're barking up the wrong tree if you're questioning his toughness. Now, does it suck that he's not out there? Do we wish he could be there? Absolutely. But don't count me as getting in on that train with questioning whether or not these guys can play. I won't do it.
Nope, neither will I.
Let me throw another NBA-style question at you here. It has been very, very tough for the home team to win. Just ask Oklahoma City. They're the only ones that have done it in this round that we're talking about. Why do you think that is? And, I mean, like I said to open the show, if you bought the fast pass to see the Cavs and the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals, the Pacers and Knicks have something to say. Maybe we should get back to the back of the line.
Yeah, I don't have a good reason as to why the home teams have struggled so significantly. I can't put my finger on it at all. I do always wonder how the games are officiated. This was the sport I always felt like where you had the biggest home court advantage. That I felt like the refereeing was so heavily planted in one direction. But these days, it's really all about the crew. You know, when Tony Brothers is officiating a game, he is known as a road ref, right? And so, I think it's probably more of the refereeing crew than anything that you're getting in terms of that stuff. But, I don't have a good reason. It's incredible. I cannot believe it. Wouldn't shock me in baseball. I don't think it has that much to do with it. Football has been interesting the last few years about teams being able to win on the road. But this one is shocking.
I don't want to concede a series. Let's say the Cavs don't get this done. Do they have to sit back and take a look at their roster and in a league where star players get traded all the time, think about busting it up? Or do you continue to roll with it and try and make it work? You know, Boston stuck with Brown and Tatum for many years, but changed everything around them.
Well, I did say going into the playoffs, the same questions permeated about this team that were there a year ago, which was, are we too big in the front court? Meaning, could you play Allen and Mobley down the stretch if you needed to? And are we too small in the back court with Garland and Mitchell? And we're, you know, if Garland doesn't return, then we're not going to find that out. You know, Miami was, I was surprised with the ease with which we walked through that series. So Indiana would have been a much stiffer test with the way that they're constructed and the way they're built. So I don't know if we're going to get the answers that we need to know. Is it strictly that the injuries would have cost this team, or is it that we weren't going to be good enough regardless? And if we can't answer those, then you're just kind of taking a shot in the dark. We have seen there's times in my head where I'm like, yeah, we could trade Jared Allen. And then I see a team like the Lakers, which played the year without a center after trading Anthony Davis. And that's eventually what did them in against Minnesota, because Rudy Gobert just killed them. So Evan Mobley's big, but he is best when he's roaming the court, when he has the ability to defend on the perimeter and then shift back, but he's not a center and there aren't a ton of them around. So that's what worries me. I think it's easier for us to say, oh, we could just trade Jared Allen and we'll figure it out from there. Well, there are times that you do need Jared Allen. So I don't have an answer yet. I really think we got to get through this series if guys do return before making that assessment.
All right, Chris, let's switch gears to baseball. Don't look now, but your team seems to have a little bit of offense there in the Guardians. I mean, it's been since middle of what, the Blue Jays series. They're putting at least 5 runs on the board every game. And I don't know, maybe it was the Nationals bullpen was what the doctors ordered, but I'll take it. They're game and a half back on Detroit. And just when you think the offense is dead, Gabriel Arias shows up. Hello, Gabriel.
Yeah, so two things. Number one, Daniel Schneeman's running real hot, real hot. You know, I mean, at the beginning of the season, I looked at him and I was like, whoa, this is Strugglesville. And I was wondering why he was up and Juan Brito was not. Obviously, that's not going to happen anytime in the near future. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing, to be honest with you, is that Gabriel Arias, for the first time in his career, looks like an everyday major leaguer. And he is, defensively, he's always been a stud. You can put him at short, third, and second, and I don't think it's a stretch to say he's the best defensively at all three of those positions on this team. But now he's giving good at-bats, and everybody likes to look at the results. I do think you have to look at the at-bats themselves, that he's not swinging on. He still occasionally does it, where he's swinging at pitches that are so far out of the strike zone, but many more good at-bats. And, we've talked about it. You can't just rely on Kwan and Ozzie to be it. That there's got to be at least 5 guys clicking every week in order for this offense to work. And he has really, really been consistent with that. And it's and I actually think Nolan Jones is at bats, even though the numbers stink. Some of his periphery numbers are very good in terms of like hard hit rate and things of that nature, which I know for a lot of fans it doesn't compute and it probably shouldn't. But that means that the process is good, that sometimes you just get unlucky in this sport. So I still think that he's probably our best answer in right field for now. I don't know what they're going to do about Lane Thomas once he's healthy. And I like Angel Martinez in center. I really do. I think that he's giving decent at-bats, and he has really quickly, in my opinion, like this is a second straight year, we've turned an infielder into a center fielder between Freeman and him and Martinez. And I think they've really both done a good job developing out there.
Chris, I thought Matt Underwood made a very interesting point yesterday in the telecast, and he said, take a look at what we have in the outfield. And I think it was Martinez and Noel and Schneeman. And he said, those are three converted infielders who are playing in the outfield right now. I think that's what it was. And it's kind of an interesting thing that's happened. And you just touched on it with Martinez. You know, he looked good in center field. Tyler Freeman looked good in center field. And so they're trying to develop this position versatility. I think it's working, but I wonder, okay, is that the way you want to go with this, or do you want to try and develop some big-time power-hitting outfielders, which they've obviously had trouble trying to do, but yet they're managing to pull all this off? I'm impressed at their versatility, but on the other hand, I think, okay, well, where are those extra sticks that you just talked about?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a challenge, right? I mean, we've been waiting on Chase DeLauder. It's nice to see that he's back doing work in Arizona, and he'll be out playing in games relatively soon. I think you're going to have to give him a shot at some point. I don't know what we're waiting for. He's now in his mid-20s. He was a first-round pick. If you haven't seen his swing, it's extremely unorthodox. I really compare him to golf fans of the 90s and early 2000s. Jim Furyk had a funky swing, but it worked. And, you know, hopefully that's what happens with DeLauder at this level. But they can't just – it's hard to keep nickel and dime in your way and make it through. I think one thing we've seen this year and one thing that has been somewhat concerning is that the bullpen, right? I mean, Cade Smith has blown up the last few days. Classe has pitched very well his last few outings, but this year has been a real struggle. That can be a real combustible spot. You need a great bullpen, but I don't think it can consistently be the best part of your team because it can go the wrong way in a hurry. And I it's so funny because I do this Baseball Today show. It's Monday through Friday, and I do it with former Minnesota Twins third baseman Trevor Plouffe, who still does TV work for the Twins. And Plouffe must text me 3 days a week. He asked me the same thing. He's like, how do the Guardians keep winning baseball games? And I can't explain it.
He's right.
He is right.
I cannot explain it. And I love it. I love the guys. They're a real likable team. But I do objectively watch the squad. And I sit here and I go, how did we just win this game? It doesn't make any sense. But we do it.
All right, Chris, I'm going to ask you this every time we talk to you. Handicap the Browns quarterback race as of today.
As of today, I would say, this is weird, but I would put Joe Flacco top on the depth chart. I would actually put him 1A and Kenny Pickett 1B and then Gabriel and then Shador. But I also think that Joe Flacco has the best chance of not being on the roster week one at this point.
Okay, that goes against the Baskin and Phelps handicap race where we have Pickett 1, Flacco 2.
I think probably I said Pickett last week, but I, you know, only because of maybe familiarity with the offense and things of that nature, I guess. But I can be convinced anyway. I do think that this coaching staff has its work cut out for him because we all could. I don't think any of us would be shocked if any of the four started week one.
Nope.
I really believe that. Like, it's really possible. Yeah, it How many true. Other teams even have two guys? I mean, in Indianapolis, we know that there's a fight there. But virtually everything else, I don't know how Pittsburgh's situation is going to finish up. I still think Rodgers ends up there. But is there anywhere else where it's this open a battle? Nothing.
Nope. Chris, you got
anywhere,
it. Nope, sorry.
All I was going to say, is there anybody else outside of Indy where there's a legit competition?
Doesn't seem to be.
I'm thinking. It doesn't feel that way at all.
No, doesn't seem to be. Giants have said so. Russ Wilson. So
I don't think that. So I don't think that there's two, let alone four guys.
It's
good luck.
Good stuff to ponder. All right, my friend. Chris, as always, we appreciate your time and your interest in still being a part of the community here in Northeast Ohio. You know we love you, my friend.
What does that mean?
That you want to be a part of the show every week, and I appreciate that. I know you do. And I love the fact that you're willing to talk to us every week because, I mean, you don't have to. Let's be honest. And you do.
Oh, yeah. And I heard a bunch of good stuff. I just visited the Blue Jays and Anaheim yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
They had a lot of good things to say about the Guardians. I was had a long talk with Miles Straw about it.
Did he say he enjoyed his time here or not?
Look, he could not have been more complimentary. I mean, I congratulated him. It wasn't easy. I know he was making his money still in the minor leagues last year,
right?
His major league money. But it's not easy to emotionally go through that when you've been an everyday major leaguer for a long time. And then to go back, and I told him that. I said I was really proud of the way he handled things. And he said, listen, it just didn't work out. He goes, but I have nothing but love for everybody in that organization. He's like, I'm rooting for him.
That's awesome.
So I thought that was great.
That's cool. I liked it.
Really cool.
Jeff knows I was like his biggest fan, so that makes me feel good that he said that. All right, Chris, we're out of here. Thank you, my friend. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Bye.